is the Great Shalom Broadcast, proclaiming that God wants total well-being for all children.
Woo-hoo! Hallelujah! Welcome back to the Great Shalom. And today, I'm going to say, Happy Holidays. Looks like I'm in a series about holidays. Today, we're going to talk about Hanukkah, which is a holiday that is celebrated by the Jews. And this is a Christian broadcast, and most of my listeners are Christians, although we certainly have great respect for the Jews, obviously. The name of this broadcast is Great Shalom. Shalom is a Hebrew word that means total well-being. So, of course, we have to be very thankful for the Jews as Christianity came out of Judaism. And so we're not part of the hard feelings back and forth between two people groups. On the contrary, we work together and respect, and then we can always have our discussions about how we disagree within that context of happiness and brothership, or at least cousinship. Okay, so today I want to talk about Hanukkah. When I was a little girl in elementary school, it was considered best practice of diversity that we talk not just about Christmas. We certainly had the Christmas program and so forth, but we also always had a presentation about Hanukkah. And this stands to reason. I was growing up in a part of Houston that had a great many Jews in it. Oh gosh, the Jewish population in my high school was probably 45%. So not surprising that the principal and teachers of my elementary school would always very carefully give at least one presentation or provide or host one presentation about Hanukkah. And the Jews in our neighborhood, of course, some were more observant than others, but many of them would also decorate their houses with lights. That made perfect sense to them because Hanukkah is the festival of lights. But what is a little strange is that it was simply because Hanukkah falls in December that we talked about Hanukkah. Hanukkah is not the primary Jewish festival. And it is time and high time and a good time that finally Christians are studying some of the Hebrew scriptures and knowing about the festivals of the Hebrews, and good and well, we need to know about them. We see Christ in them, and they are eternal moeds, appointed time of God, and so well worth studying. Although I am not in the party of the Judaizers, meaning Christians who are halfway Jews. So it's not about trying to recreate that or become like Jews, but it's, in my opinion, however I respect those who really go whole hog, but certainly understanding and learning about it, absolutely I embrace. So that's my position, and I respect people who have other opinions. Okay. So, but I want to talk to you about Hanukkah. So Hanukkah doesn't fall at the same exact dates every year because the Jews have a lunar calendar. And so it's on, let's see, it's on the 25th day of Kislev. Okay, so here's the story. But first, before you, my ardent Christians will say, okay, is this in the Bible? Well, yes. Okay. For Christians, please turn to the Gospel of St. John in the 10th chapter in verse 22. And it says, at that time, the feast of dedication took place at Jerusalem. It was winter, verse 23, it was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. The Jews therefore gathered around him and were saying to him, how long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you and you did not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, these bear witness of me. Okay, so the point is that Jesus was celebrating the Feast of Dedication, which is the same as Hanukkah. It's in the wintertime. So the 25th of Kislev falls in December, usually. So it's usually ahead of Christmas. Sometimes it falls in November. So What is the story? Well, the story is told in the book of Maccabees, and the book of Maccabees is usually not bound in the Protestant Bibles, but is bound in some of them. And so here's the story. It was 150, 200 years before the time of Jesus. And the Jewish people who were living in what we call the Bible land or Judea were living under the rule of the Greek kings. And they were ruling from Damascus, which is still a city. It's a city in Syria today, but you find Damascus mentioned many times in the Bible. And so the Greek kings, the Seleucids, and in particular King Antiochus Epiphanes, was the Greco-Syrian king who took control of the temple in Jerusalem and forced the Jewish people to abandon their worship of God. Okay, so you understand, this was horrible. It's not just that they had to pay tribute to an empire that overtook them, but he made them abandon their worship, and he defiled the temple, made it no longer holy. And there was some, if I'm not mistaken, he sacrificed a pig on the altar and spilled its blood on the holy scrolls of scripture. So the pig was considered unclean. No pig would have ever been in the temple, and there were specific animals and prescriptive ways to sacrifice them, and he sacrificed a pig on the altar. So this was the abomination. Okay, so there was severe persecution, not just in the civil manner, but also in the religious manner. And so there was a group of four brothers who was led by one named Judah Maccabee, and they raised an army to defy and resist and, if possible, overthrow the Seleucid kingdom. And all of these men as a whole, all of the men that followed them as an army, became known as the Maccabees, and Judah was known as the Hammer. So they were actually a small band and not a huge army. They fought for 3 years with strength from heaven until they achieved a miraculous victory and deliverance from the Greco-Syrian control. They regained the temple. It was cleansed, cleared of all Greek idolatry, and readied for rededication. And so this is why it's called the Feast of Dedication, because the Jews at this time, once they had cleared the temple away, then they were rededicating it. And it took place in the year 165 BC on the 25th day of the Hebrew month of Kislev. It is called Hanukkah, and you see Hanukkah spelled with a CH because that H is really a chet, so it's more like Hanukkah, which we don't have in English. All right, so that's why you find it CH or H. It's not Chanukah, never. Okay, it's Hanukkah. All right. And so it's also known as the Festival of Lights, because here is the big story. So in the temple, in the holy place, is the seven-branch candlestick of God. And it, when we say candlestick in English, we tend to think of candles, but actually there were it burned oil. And so it was a candlestick in the sense that it was a great big piece of metal with seven branches, but in each of the top there were places to burn olive oil. They didn't have candles, you know, wax candles like we think of it. And so there was only enough oil. There wasn't enough oil. There was only enough oil for one day, but it was going to take a full 7 days for more holy oil to be processed, purified, brought in. They just simply didn't have enough oil. But the Maccabees decided to go ahead and light the candlestick. And It was a miracle. God's holy presence caused the flame to burn for 8 days until the new sacred oil was ready for use. This actually really touches my heart. So this is history. It's not controversial anyway. And so as a Christian who is certainly trying to live for the Lord, to think that the Lord reaches down and helps us in our infirmities, which is of course what we believe in Christianity, this touches my heart. So, since then, certainly in the time of Jesus, this festival was celebrated as a memorial for the time when the Lord reached to them and when they regained their freedom, their religious freedom. This is so meaningful to our human lives, that God reaches down and gives us light. We reach toward Him and He reaches toward us. He reached toward us to begin with, of course. And this temple was made as a replica of those things in heaven to teach us about the things in heaven. And so I trust that that's true, although I can't talk to you about all those details at this point, and I'm sure we'll learn more about them as we go. But the point here is that God gives us light, and God works with us for freedom, both civil and religiously. And this is needed in our day, because there seems to be a great campaign. The campaign is not in the same way or with the same technology as Antiochus had, but we certainly are seeing a march against the truth and against religious freedom. I notice it seems to go one way, but anyway, against the truth of God. Because, and why is that? Because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. And so the evil forces know who the good forces are, even when the good forces might be a little confused. So let's turn that back on them, and may the evil forces be confused. And God will give supernatural deliverance and sacred oil, which we Christians believe is the anointing of God, the unction of the Holy Spirit, is given to us as believers. And may we be heroes like the Maccabees, reaching out toward God and giving freedom to the people. Incidentally, let me talk to you about the Maccabees. Now, I am not a master of this history, but I was training. You know, I train preschool teachers, and I was training in a Jewish school, an ardently Jewish school, where all of the instructors were Jews, and it happened to be December, and they were, one of them really had a bone to pick, we say. Some people say an egg to peel. She had something to say against the superheroes that are often in our media, and she was unhappy with the kinds of false and unrealistic ideas they give children, particularly boys, and maybe not enough to girls, about what kind of heroes they can be. But as she talked later, we mentioned the Maccabees, and we said, yes, these were real heroes. These served their people. These gave their lives for their, or risked their lives for their people. And they were, you know, so there are other ways to serve, of course, but it was not simply for their own opinions, but for their people. And they were true heroes. And they reached out, and God reached out to them. And so may we be those kinds of heroes, that we would dedicate our lives to God and to service, because the God we serve, of course, is a God for others, who poured Himself out for others. And this is what we Christians believe, that Jesus is the exact representation of God. And so He went about doing good and healing people and releasing them from the oppression of the devil. And he still does that, whether it's oppression of drug addiction or poverty or any kind of oppression, that Jesus works, God works for total well-being for all people. Of course, we just talk about children, but God wants total well-being for all people. This is what salvation, sozo, in Greek is. It's shalom in Hebrew, total well-being. It's not simply a ticket out of the fire escape. It's not simply a ticket out of this world into the next, so you go to heaven, but it is rescue in all ways. It is rescue from hell. It is rescue from the hell of this world. It is a ticket into the ark that is the church, where there is community like an extended family and love. But it is more than that. It is an open door to heroism. It is healing of spirit, soul, and body. And it is an open door to meaningful service and love. Hallelujah. And it is a ticket to the throne room of God, and you don't have to wait till you die and go to heaven to get there. And so just as Jesus walked among people and served them, so do we. And similarly, just as Jesus prayed and kept his connection with God, so should we. And I hope that I will be able to give you a series on prayer next year. But today, let us consider the Feast of Dedication. Let us dedicate ourselves to service like the Maccabees, to resistance against evil in the proper ways that God calls us to. And let us look for the lighting of the lamp in our own hearts. And let us remember our heritage of faith, both that which the Jews preserve and that which the Christian tradition and community preserves, for it is one tradition. Do you not remember the scripture says God has broken down the middle wall of partition? And he was talking specifically between Jews and Greeks. So let us dedicate ourselves. If Jesus went up to the temple for the Feast of Dedication, that means he celebrated Hanukkah. And so there is no reason why we shouldn't celebrate Hanukkah. But moreover, we should learn about all of the feasts, the seven major feasts. And Hanukkah is not even one of the seven that Moses laid down, but it's worth learning about. I'm not saying that you need to celebrate them for your salvation, because that's not what we believe, those of us who've embraced the Galatians and the New Testament, who are Gentiles. But if our fellow believers, the Jews, celebrate them, all well and good, although they don't have a temple. Okay, so the temple is an important deal, and we'll leave that to other teachers. Okay, but now, for those of us who are moms and teachers, what can we do about Hanukkah? Well, it is the Festival of Lights, and so Jews celebrate it in the home with a menorah. And so there are eight places for eight candles, and the ninth lights all of the rest. I believe that's the way it is. And I believe I've got the numbers right, but if not, then correct me and type in below on my website at greatshalom.org. So each night, for eight nights, they celebrate this history, and they celebrate the light of God in their home by lighting the menorah, and so one more candle each night. And they may give small gifts to the children, one gift each night. And so my Jewish friends said, oh, I like being Jewish. I mean, I'm talking about when I was a child. I get eight gifts. Anyway, so often the Jews in our neighborhood would put lights up on in their house. And so I would suggest that we might do any number of crafts that are related to this. You might read the history of Judah Maccabee. You might make some fashion of menorah or pictures thereof. You might decorate your house with lights. Now, one particular house I really remember had fashioned Christmas lights with a background of pie plates. And often they made that decoration on their door, and they made it in a triangle, but there's no reason you couldn't make it in two equilateral triangles making a Star of David. And so this could be your Hanukkah decoration. But I'm sure that you can find many other ways of celebrating the Festival of Lights. And I'm sure if you can manage to manage your children, they will love to work with the candles and light the candles. You can buy inexpensive menorahs. The Jews also have potato pancakes, which are fried in oil, and other foods that are related with oil, which is, of course, a good thing in the winter time. And also they play a game with the dreidel, which is similar to a dice. It has different Jewish letters on it, and you might be able to fashion dreidels either using Hebrew letters or English letters, and that could be a game for preschool children. And they learn sharing as well as reading letters and counting and so forth. And I used to use a dreidel and pennies and with my grandchildren. And so lots of fun you can have with Hanukkah. And talk to them about being heroes. Heroes that serve. And heroes that have dedicated their lives to the Lord. Okay, and make friends with the Jews around you. Do not be a snob or timid. Just realize there are your typical, average, usually educated people. And they may or may not celebrate Christmas, so don't get too much in their business, but just celebrate. And often they'll be happy to share with you. So if you have a local Reform synagogue around, you can call them up, or a Jewish community center, and ask if they have any programs that might be appropriate for Gentile Christians, and they may invite you. So just use good common sense with their protocols. Men will cover their heads. Usually there are extra yarmulkes for men to cover their head. Interesting, isn't it? Because that's not what we're reading in 1 Corinthians 11, but I guess Paul was talking with to the Corinthians who were in Europe and not Jews. Anyway, you'll find that there may be other demonstrations or events. I know that at the University of Texas, usually the Chabad house has a very large menorah that they bring to the campus, and might go see something like that. I know at some other universities they have carols that the carillon plays at the lighting of the lights on the university. Usually that's the weekend of Thanksgiving. And so all of these become wonderful holidays. I know that the Jewish Community Center in my town does have a booth exhibit at the Feast of Tabernacles, which is earlier in the fall. And so I commend to you a study of the Jewish feasts and the ideas from Hanukkah for more activities for you to do with your children. And so I wish you all the best, increase, and blessing from the Lord. And this is Sharon Sarles proclaiming that God wants total well-being for all children. Happy holidays.
Thank you for joining us for the Great Shalom broadcast with your host, Sharon Sarles. Sharon is an author, educator, minister, parent and grandparent committed to sharing the understanding of God's love and desire that all children experience optimal well-being in this generation and the generations to come. The Great Shalom Broadcast is here to bring hope, health, and healing for children and youth by inspiring, informing, equipping parents and educators. For more information on today's program or today's offer, simply log on to thegreatshalom.org or email info@greatshalom.org.